bless you and we honor you. We thank you that your name is faithful and true. And Lord, I thank you that you know exactly what we need, that you are a Father who sees us, that you're a Father who hears us. And Lord, I pray that as we prepare our hearts to worship, we invite you in, Spirit of God, breath of God, come and breathe on your word. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. May we encounter you in your word today and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Loved me. Let's stand in honor of the Lord. Adam Emling is going to read our call to worship this morning. It's found in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 5.
O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips.
Amen. Love lifted me. Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north to the south. And he goes on and talks about people that cry out to the Lord, and it, in each one of them, in Psalm 107 verse 8, Psalm 107 in verse 15, in verse 21, in verse 31, it says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. Love lifted me. Father, we thank you for those that are lost, for those that are sick, for those that are in just in bondage, for those that are overwhelmed with life. Lord, every single one of those categories in Psalm 107, they cry out to you for help, and you deliver them. And here's the song again. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your love endures forever, that it comes and lifts us up when we're grieving, when we're sad, when we're overwhelmed. Your love is there. We bless you and we thank you. Lord, we have many in our congregation that are grieving this morning. We pray for Gordy, Lord, and his sister Debbie, and the loss of Marion. Father, we pray comfort. We ask you to surround them. Lord, I thank you for your word that says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Lord, I pray that Gordy would just sense your nearness and peace. Pray for that, Debbie. Lord, and all who love and in that family, God, who loved Marion, God, we ask just your love to surround them, your comfort. We pray, Father, for Carolyn Dial this morning and the loss of Bob. Jesus reminded of him, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast tossed me to say, it is well with my soul. Lord, we pray for peace that passes all understanding to be upon Carolyn this morning, to be upon her family this morning. Lord, her daughter and the loss there, God, just so much heartache in that family. And Lord, I pray comfort. I pray peace. Pray your mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the Vernon Carter family and his death. God, your comfort and your peace in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for Pam Pereira, Lord, undergoing treatment for cancer. Jesus, we ask your strength to be upon Pam, your comfort and encouragement to be upon her. Pray sustaining grace on Pam. We pray for Pam's daughter, Nancy, with COVID. And God, we ask healing on Nancy. We ask healing, Lord, with Kingsley and Jill this morning. We thank you that Kingsley is better. But God, we ask your continued healing on them with COVID. Strength to those lungs. Mercy, God, on them in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. Neither height nor depth, angels and demons, life or death, cannot keep us from your love. And Lord, we need you. Our nation needs you. Lord, the world is crying out for mercy and deliverance. We thank you that you're good, and that your love does indeed endure forever, that your name is faithful, that your name is true. We remember the persecuted church this morning. We pray, Father, that you would give them courage to stand for you. Give them boldness, Jesus. Give them grace. We ask mercy on our leaders. Mercy, God. We ask for mercy. We pray, Jesus, the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. them. Father, I pray you bless the giver that they may overflow with joy and hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. We offer it all up to you because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand, sing the doxology. Acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I lift it all up to you. Holy Spirit, come. Teach us. King of glory, come. Holy Comforter, come. Encourage, breathe, encounter us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was praying. Stand on two firm foundations. We stand on Jesus, and in that we stand in his love and we stand in his forgiveness. And the enemy always wants to come and get us so we'll doubt those things. And gave a really long introduction last week to Psalm 136, and today we're going to jump into that psalm. On the outline, I emailed it to you last week and I put it on Facebook again. I broke down kind of the outline of this psalm, and in verses 1 through 4, you kind of have the introduction. In verses 5 through 9, and then 10 through 15, 16 through 22, and 23 through 26. I've outlined that, and we're going to go through that. The way this is set up is so beautiful, and it's so brilliant. And as I was sharing last week, I kind of shared my testimony with this psalm, and it used to really bug me as I would read it. And if you learn anything in my time here, and how long have I been here? I've been here almost, it's been 3 years, hasn't it? If I could leave anything with you, it would be to dialogue with the Lord and relationship with Him and dialogue with Him in the Scriptures. He loves it when we do that. And the most profound insights I've ever had have been when I've really struggled with a passage of Scripture. And Psalm 136 is one of them. And one day I was reading it, and I just was like, Lord, I don't like this psalm because your love keeps interrupting the story. And when I said that, I realized, oh, wow, have I missed it. Because in 26 verses, in every single one of those verses, we have the phrase, for His steadfast love endures forever. And His love keeps interrupting the story. And that is what happens in our lives. We can try to run away from God. We can run as hard and as far away as we can. But His love just keeps us all around us. And it just keeps bumping into us. And the enemy wants to blind our eyes and get us angry and bitter at God so that we doubt His love. But His love is all around us. And we see that in Psalm 136. When a phrase is repeated in the Bible, it's just a 101 Bible study principle. When there's a word that's repeated, it means it's important. When it's repeated 26 times, you better believe God is wanting us to get it. And His love is the action in this psalm. And in verses 1 through 4, we have the introduction of this psalm. And let's look at it. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. It's commanding us to give thanks to Him because He's good. He's good, and His love endures forever. That little word, we're going to keep telling you this and telling you this and telling you this because we just need to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. That love is a faithful love. That love is a loyal love. It's a love that never runs out. There's a passion in it, but there's also a steadfastness in it. And one that means that he's never going to get tired of. He's never going to look at you and say, oh, you again? Oh, I got to hear this again? Not who He is. And in that construct, actually, the first word in that, for His steadfast love endures forever, in the Hebrew, the first word is forever. Forever. So you could say forever His love. Forever His love. Forever His love. Forever His loyalty. Forever His steadfastness. Forever His mercy. Forever His loving kindness. That's what He's saying. And it's who He is. This love, it's who He is. In Exodus, I love Exodus chapter 33. God is dialoguing with Moses, and He's having this relationship with, in this conversation with Moses. And Moses is talking to Him, engaging God. And if you've ever had the joy, and this is what's so beautiful about Jesus, in a relationship with Jesus, is when we talk to Him, He wants to dialogue with us. He wants to talk to you. And He'll do that through the Scriptures. He'll do that through His Spirit. And sometimes He's quiet, but sometimes the Lord, He'll talk to you, and you hear His voice, and you hear and speaking his word. And when that happens, it's just like, oh, yeah. And we enjoy that. And it's so beautiful to hear his voice. And in Exodus 33, Moses is dialoguing with God. And then Moses gets really bold, I think as some of us would do. And so, you know, we're talking and God's granting Moses' request. And so Moses just says boldly, he said, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God's like, Moses, I can't do that, because if I show you the fullness of who I am, you're going to die. But I tell you what, just as like a good father, God says, tell you what, Moses, I'm going to pass, I'm going to allow all my goodness to pass by you, and I'll let you see my backside as I go by. And in Exodus chapter 34, we have the first appearance of God's name, Yahweh, in the Bible. And I love it that it appears there in Moses' request. God, show me your glory. And God allows all of his goodness to pass by him. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. God shows him his glory, and he does that by telling him his name. My name is Yahweh. My name is steadfast love, hesed, and compassionate and gracious. In Psalm 9, you have this fascinating line in Psalm 9. And the psalmist says that those who know your name, they trust you. Those who know your name. It's so important that we not only have a cognitive understanding of God's name, but that we really encounter the truth in his name. And his name is Yahweh. His name means I am here, the one who is, the one who exists. And talking about the lies of the enemy, God wants us to believe, first of all, that God doesn't exist, and if he can get us not to, you know, just not to believe that, he's got us, but then to doubt his goodness and to doubt his love. But his name is Yahweh. His name is I am here. His name is love. His name is compassionate, gracious. So this hesed that I've been talking about, this steadfast love, that's his name. And that's what he reveals to Moses when Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, let me tell you my name. My name is the one who is. My name is the compassionate one, the gracious one, the one who loves. And that's what the introduction of this psalm tells us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good forever. His love, his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to this one who is the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. We tend to separate, and in the different traditions of Christianity throughout the world, we tend to either focus on God's might and his power and his sovereignty, which that is true. He is powerful. He's the Almighty One. And we neglect that he's love. But then you have others. Oh, he's love. And we make him mushy-gushy, namby-pamby love, soft, sentimental love. But we forget he's holy and he's powerful. But he's both. He's both and. Only the Lord can do that. He's Almighty, but he loves. And he's gracious and compassionate. He's both of those things. The psalm in his introduction says, give thanks to him because he's powerful. He's the God of gods, the Lord of lords. But he's the one whose love endures forever. What do we have? Verses 5 through 9. Where is God's love displayed? In verses 5 through 9. Who by understanding made the heavens? For his steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters? For his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights? For his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day? For his steadfast love sun and moon, the moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. God's love is revealed in creation. Psalm 19. If you have your Bibles, let's just flip over there for a moment. Psalm 19. I don't know if it's a close call for me. Fall, winter, spring. Which one is my favorite? Summer's my least favorite. But I love winter. I love winter. I'm so thankful for snow. So thankful we got some snow. So I'll be happy the rest of the winter. But I'm just happy we got some. But when that was coming down, it's so beautiful. I have a little bird feeder. When I look out the kitchen window, I've got a little bird feeder out there. I've got a little squirrel that does gymnastics on it, you know, out there like he's on a on a trapeze, kind of, you know, he's hilarious. But between watching the squirrel, but then watching the cardinals in the green cedar tree with the white, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And I just want you to meditate for just a second and think about this. Genesis chapter 1, God created with his word. He created the world, created everything we see by his word. He said it, and he created it. And God did not make a black and white world. Isn't that cool? He was so creative, and he made color. And he didn't have to do that. But his glory is revealed in creation. If you look at Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day it pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving its chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of them. In Psalm 104, I'm not going to take the time to read that psalm today, but maybe this afternoon, just read Psalm 4. Just extolling God as creator, that he's the one who made the clouds, that he's the one who made the birds, that he's the one. And just in everything that we see, in everything, God made that. And he made it for you, so you can enjoy it, so all of us can enjoy it. And when we see the colors outside and the contrast with the red and the green, we need to hear the Spirit of God say, his love endures forever. As you look and you see that, he made that because he loves you. When you get up and you see the sunrise, the beauty of the sunrise, the beauty of the sunset, the orange and the pinks and the lavenders that you see in the sky, well, that's declaring God loves you. He loves you. He didn't have to make it beautiful. He didn't have to make color, but he did that, and he did it because he loves you. For his steadfast love endures forever. One of the things that's happened to us is we've moved away from an agrarian society, and we don't get, a lot of us get our hands in the dirt and really appreciate the seasons and the seeds and the water that's needed and the nourishment that's needed. And as we've moved away from that, we get so attached to our computer screens and our phone, and we don't look and we don't appreciate God's love, his glory that's revealed all around us in nature. And I just encourage you to turn off the TV. Do a 2 or 3 hour social media fast. Put your phone on, you know, like your notifications off, and just take time in silence and say, Lord, I want to see you and I want to experience you. I used to do this in college. I used to take retreats of silence because I love being outside. I love hiking, and just go out and just on Sunday afternoons especially, I would just go out and take a retreat of there's something in that. Lindell, being out on the farm, you know, there's just being out in the silence. God's glory is in that, and his peace is in that. Mary Jo, out in her garden, with glory in that, the encounter God in that. And we need to get in touch with that, because it's all around us, and he wants to reveal his love to us and what we see in the beauty of creation. It's fascinating to me that in the book of Revelation, with the glory and that what John sees in heaven, amidst the holies, amidst the worthy is the Lamb, what do you have? You have glory to the Creator. He's beautiful in what he made. And he made it for you because he loves you. Forever his love in creation. Where else is his love displayed? Verses 10 through 15. It's displayed in redemption. Verse 10. Who struck down Egypt through their firstborn. For his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them. For his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. For his steadfast love endures forever. Who divided the Red Sea in two. For his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. For his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. For his steadfast love endures forever. We have in those verses the great story of redemption in the Old Testament. Passover was instituted in God's deliverance of them from the Egyptians in slavery, passing through the Red Sea, and his love is displayed in God's saving act. And how much more the story of redemption that's told in Jesus Christ. And you could add, you know, a modern psalm on that by saying, the one who sent Jesus for his steadfast love endures forever. Who lived a perfect sinless life for his steadfast love endures forever. Who died on the cross for our sins for his steadfast love endures forever. And is resurrected in power for his steadfast love endures forever. Jesus coming and dying was God's love in action. In sending Jesus. And we, when the enemy comes with this onslaught of lies and accusations, God really doesn't love you. Nah, no, he sent Jesus and it's done. He did it. Forever his love. Forever his love. His love forever displayed in the sending of Jesus, the cross of Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. Forever his love. 16 through 22. His love is revealed in big epic battles. Who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed famous kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to his servant Israel, for his steadfast love endures forever. I could preach a sermon alone on just this section. I'm not going to do that today, but it's amazing how many times Sihon and Og are mentioned in the Bible. They're mentioned in Deuteronomy, in the book of Numbers, in the book of Psalms, and what God did in delivering them. And just trying to pull together that story, just trying to keep it as tight as possible. But the point is, it's so cool. When Moses sent the spies to go spy out the land, and the spies come back, and they say, okay, yeah, it's a good land. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. But there are giants in the land. There are big people there. There are giants in the land. And we appeared as grasshoppers in our own eyes. You know who those giants were? Those giants were Sihon and Og. Mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. Og, king of Bashan. These not only were men that were powerful men, they were men probably large in stature, the Hebrews would not have been very tall. And these may have been 6 foot or taller, big, tall people, mighty men, mighty armies, latest in the, you know, chariots and all of that. And they were intimidating, and they were scary. And in the annals of their history, the battle against Sihon and the battle against Og, it was epic in what God did. Absolutely epic. Flip really quickly to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers chapter, well, no, let's look at 13. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. And why is this important? It's important because we tend to think that what we go through and the battles that we go through, that nobody else has ever gone through them. And the enemy wants us to get focused on ourselves. Nobody has it as bad as I do. I've got it so bad. And what's so beautiful to me about this story that keeps being repeated and what God did is you cannot underestimate how powerful these kings were, how pitiful the army of Israel would have been at the time, and how mighty God was in delivering them. And it was impossible. And that when God, he wants us to remember that in the greatest battles that we ever fight against cancer, against death, against sorrow, depression, addiction, and despair, that God is able and he wants to come and he wants to be present with us in the midst of those battles. And he's able to deliver us. So let's just look briefly at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13 is when they spy out the land and they see the people. And then in Numbers 21, this is the defeat of these kings. Numbers chapter 21, verse 21. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into field or vineyard. We will not drink the water. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. He gathered all his people together and went out against Israel to the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Impossible. A mighty king. A giant. Verse 24. And Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land. God did it for them. Verse 31. Then Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. And Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they captured its villages and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. Again, impossible, but God did it for them. Then they turned and went up by the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against them, he and all his people, to battle. But the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I've given him into your land, into your hand, and all his people and his land. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon." So they defeated him. And Psalm 135, there's a victory psalm that was written in memory of this because it was so epic. It was so big. And Psalm 135. It's interesting that it's in the context of God delivering them from Egypt. And the psalmist writes, verse 8, Psalm 135, verse 8, "He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down mighty nations, killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people, Israel." What is it that is the biggest battle that you're fighting right now? What is it? Name it in your mind. Name it. Depression, addiction, sadness, despair, sin. What is it? Our God is a deliverer. And if God can deliver his people against these big, mighty kings, God will that for you. And he will do it for all of us. We just but call upon his name. His love endures forever. In the midst of the Sihons, in the midst of all disease and the death, all of it, his love endures forever. Romans chapter 8, death cannot keep us from his love. Satan cannot keep us from his love. His love endures forever. Where is his love? According to verse 23 through 26, it is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes. For his steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh? For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. For the first time, in verses 23 through 24, what has been God is revealed in his nature, God in creation, God in redemption, God in these big battles and deliverance. But it comes down in verses 23 through 24, and it says, God has remembered us. It's really personal. It comes down to you, and it comes down to us. The work, the love, what God has done in Jesus Christ, it's done. It's finished. We just have to step into it and believe it and make it our own. Lord, you did it. And it comes down to me. And Lord, I want to taste it. And I want to experience it. Last week I was sharing with you where this song is sung, for his steadfast love endures forever. And I didn't have time to tell you about my very favorite one. And it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where this song is sung. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there. Because this is such a profound principle for us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, once again, Judah is encountering battles. And their enemies are threatening to come in and overtake them and overwhelm them. And Jehoshaphat is the king, and he's concerned. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. Well, let's look at verse 2. Since some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the east. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And if there's one thing we need to be doing as a nation right now, it is we need to come and we need to gather together and we need to seek the Lord. Lord, help. Lord, what is your word? We need you to speak concerning this. And they fast and they come and they inquire of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat begins to pray. Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. And he begins to recount God's promises and what God has done. And he comes down and he says in verse 12, God, will you not execute judgment on these people that are coming against us? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Beautiful principle right there. God, look at what's going on in the world. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. Beautiful, beautiful stance, beautiful principle. Verse 13, meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he said, listen, all of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. To tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east. He tells them what to do. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, all of the army, it says, they stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning. They went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and said, what did they sing? Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end, they were in confusion, and the armies destroyed one another. I love that story because it's an illustration of what will happen when we get our eyes off ourselves, we get our eyes off of our problems, and we begin to worship and exalt Jesus. Don't be afraid. The prophet said to Jehoshaphat, you just stand, and the Lord is going to fight your battle for you. And as they began to sing and the worshipers went out, it was in the worship that the enemy was routed. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This psalm starts with a command, give thanks to the Lord, and it ends with a command, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. May we have eyes to see his love in creation. May we have eyes to see and remember his love displayed to us in Jesus Christ. May we have eyes to see the great battles that we fight, the great battles against fear, against sickness, against disease, against cancer, that we just need to stand in what Jesus has already done. Why is it important, the psalmist says, that we enter his courts with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? Because there's power in that. Because it routs the enemy. It gets our eyes off ourselves. Gets him up on Jesus. His love endures forever. And it's come down to you. And it's his Holy Spirit that sheds it abroad in our heart. If we've ever needed a dose of his love, we need it now, don't we? As a nation, collectively, we're exhausted. We're at the end of our rope. You can feel the anger. You can feel the tension in the air. You see what's going on in the world. The world needs to see a church that is filled with love, that is filled with power, and the love of Jesus Christ. Will you open up your heart to him? Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His love endures forever. Father, I pray that this would just be more than a Bible study. It would just be more than a psalm. Lord, that we would really encounter your love. It's your Holy Spirit that sheds abroad the love of Jesus in our heart. We thank you for the eternal song that we're ever going to sing. It's an everlasting song. Give thanks to him, for he's good. His love endures forever. We're going to sing it for all eternity. Pray, Lord, we would have eyes to see. We would have ears to hear. We would have hearts to receive your love. Lord, those that are in the midst of big battles right now, and they cannot see your love, I pray, God, for eyes to see. Holy Spirit, come, just reveal the love of Jesus. For those that are caught in fear, it's your perfect love that casts away all fear. We love you. We thank worshipers, and Lord, may just worship erupt in our hearts, and I pray that as we worship, the enemy would be routed, and Lord, we would see more and more of your love. And